Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Yes, hello, everybody. 2 hours to share with you. Ryan Girdler, James Hooper. Wendell Saylor isn't with us today. He's having, he's resting. He's got the weekend off for us, and we'll be back next week. Wade Graham from the Sharkies is here, and it's great to have your company, Wade. Before we get to what does the Fox say, fidget spinners, Ryan Girdler, and you've got children. Have you having to fork out cash for fidget spinners?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the girls have got a couple of. What are you, fidget spinners?
Fidget spinners. This is the new craze. Wade, have you heard about this new craze?
I've heard about it. I haven't paid any attention, but so I don't really know the idea behind it, idea, concept.
Yeah, right. Okay. What about you, Hoops? You've never heard of the fidget spinners?
No, I must say, until you raised it then, Tony, no, I hadn't heard of it.
Well, apparently,
how do you go, Tony? Are you into it?
Yeah, but I got right into it because, you know, I've been hassled by the seven-year-old. I need a fidget spinner. Everybody at school's got a fidget spinner. So I went to get the fidget spinner on Wednesday. So I went down and I queued up at a toy shop. And honestly, that's all they were selling was thousands of fidget spinners. Mm. I was in a line.
You didn't get in the Tony Squires line?
Exactly.
Off to the side.
It's the business class section here. No, I didn't. I went there and I got my fidget spinners. I got a couple of them and gave them to. And then immediately I did that, they were banned.
Banned from where?
From the school.
Oh, right.
So you're not allowed to use a fidget spinner. So I was late on the whole craze thing. So, you know, I've gone out and bought him a yo-yo. If he can bring back the yo-yo, he might, in fact, be ahead of the trend rather than the last kid to get a fidget spinner.
Trendsetter.
Before they get banned from the school. Shocking thing. Time for this, though.
What does the fuck say?
Fuck it. Ooh, yeah, give it to me.
Jewel International wasn't here. Right. I got a loop pass from that this week. Yeah. You've done a pretty good job there.
Yeah, very good impersonation.
Thanks.
Of a big
was
girl
it?
There. Yeah, it was really good. Okay. What does the Fox say, Jimmy Fox?
Well, look, I think Wade Graham, we're lucky to have Wade Graham from the Cronulla Sharks in here with us today, and I think he's going to have a new teammate next year. That'll be Josh Dugan from your Dragons, Tone. So it's a four-year deal. It hasn't been officially announced yet, but I reckon we'll see it announced over the course of the next week.
Wow.
It's a huge coup for Cronulla. And I'll tell you what, for that local derby rivalry, the fans love to hate one another, the Dragons fans and the Cronulla fans, that's certainly going to add a little bit of spice there.
So it's as good as, you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it will be, obviously, with Valentine Holmes playing fullback and doing such a great job, it will be in the centre position and Tool, obviously, if, you know, needs to fill in every now and again at the back, I guess.
The way it's been explained to me, I think Cronulla, they didn't really put, their pitch wasn't about a position. It was just about, you're an elite footballer. You would, as Tone said earlier, best on ground in that test match up until he got injured. We just want to bring you to our club as an elite player. And
it's
then we'll figure
pitch.
Out what we're going to do. So, obviously Jack Bird going to the Broncos means that the right centre spot is available. So you'd think
is Latelli leaving as well?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Didn't he want to go back to the Gold Coast?
Yeah, because there's some family reasons there. So I have heard that. Yeah, I think he might be leaving too. So there's a bit of a transition going on in terms of the playing group.
I wonder what that means at the Dragons. Obviously, Jason Nightingale fills in there beautifully, but he's getting towards the end of his career. They're talking about people like Matt Dufty, like Jai Field, who came on, who's very short, you know, more of the Jonathan Docking style fullback, old shark style. But, you know, is he the go? Or do we go, you know, Cody Walker is allegedly not happy with what he's getting. He's playing some fullback at South Sydney. Jump him straight over.
That's a storm in a teacup.
Is it?
Story. Oh, yeah.
He'd be a good fit at the back of you guys.
He'd be perfect.
Well, I mean, Gagai's coming to South Sydney. I mean, you might be onto something.
Don't you
Tony?
Think that's the way to go? It just fits perfectly. Hoops.
Well, I think that they might look, certainly those names you mentioned, Jai Field, absolutely, Dufty. But also, don't forget, Gareth Widdop started his career as a fullback. So I know the Dragons have discussed that if they wanted to, that's an option as well. Considering how well McCrone's playing this year, maybe they go
Ben Hunt
and McCrone in the halves. And look, it's an option. I'm not
Kurt
saying
Mann,
it's going to happen.
I've got to say,
Mann's been good since he's been given a couple of opportunities.
And look, there's similarities between, you know, 5'8 and fullback these days are quite, you know, that's quite a similar position. And so look, he... he's come on leaps and bounds, this, you know, 5'8". He's good under the high ball. He's played a lot of it before. We know that they trialled him there 2-3 years ago, but he's developed a lot as a player, and he might be a guy that they've got in mind to go back there. Between him and Widdop, you'd think they would be able to cover the spot. Because you can't have Kurt Mann on the bench, on the wing. He's a good footy player.
Yeah. Wade, don't you like the way we decide what's going on?
Yeah. No, I just think it shows where the game's at the moment. Obviously, with the player movement, it seems like a lot of players have come off contract at the end of this year, obviously pending the new salary cap and the CBA. So it seems to be there's a one signing somewhere else, and then it causes two or three more, you know, possible re-signings or players moving on. So it's constantly in the media. You wake up every day and there's another five players going here, there, everywhere. So it certainly is interesting to read.
It's become part of the landscape. There's a lot of big names this year, and I can't recall, Tone, another window like what we're going through at the moment where there are so many big-name players off contract and so much movement.
Hoops, during the week, you mentioned the CBA, Wade.
Yep.
There was a meeting and the NRL and the clubs decide they were in a kind of a good area. Is that what we're talking about? Not anymore?
No.
So that was what happened on Wednesday. Then.
Yeah. No, they're not in a good space at all. No. They're at war. So
that's what I meant, that really
clubs,
interesting area of war.
The chairman, the chair people.
It's about times like these you need Simon Mannering.
The chair people are now gunning for John Grant's head. They want him gone from the Australian Rugby League Commission. And look, the issue is the NRL tried to underarm the club. So they tried to say, oh, hey guys, listen, we're going to come up $1 million short in terms of what we can give you at the end of the year, and we'll make it up 6 or 7 years down the track. And they just went, what?
But this is the thing, Hoops.
No,
that's
not
happening. Didn't the club have the opportunity at late last year when Grant and the NRL Commission came out and gave them that first figure that basically said that they've taken that off the table, what was promised to the clubs back in the start of 2017, was it?
Yep.
Didn't they have the opportunity then to really force his hand and move John Grant on and get someone else then to chair the commission?
Yeah, they did.
And then they all said, oh, no, they fell back in and said, oh, no, well, let's stop pushing it. Let's believe that something's going to happen. And then now we find ourselves in the same position, but we're 6 months behind where we could have been if we had someone else in the position.
Yeah,
that must be frustrating from the clubs.
Oh, for sure. No doubt about it.
Are they going to do it this time?
You've got successful and powerful business people like Nick Politis and Ray Dibb, and absolutely, they don't take the way that the NRL is running the game lightly, and they don't think that they're doing a good job. So they're driving the agenda hard to try and implement change.
Why couldn't they make the changes at the start of the year? What was the roadblock?
The easiest way to explain it, when you peel it all back, it's all about dollars and cents. It's all about money. They were promised a set amount, and then the NRL keeps trying to move the goalposts on them, underarming, saying to them earlier this week, oh, sorry, guys, by the way, you're going to be $1 million each short.
Yep.
Can you imagine someone you're doing business with comes in and says, oh, hey,
but
by
what
the way,
stopped John Grant from moving on at the start of the year when
Grant was able to work the numbers back in his favour. So you need a majority. You need a 75% plus majority, right?
Yep.
And to get that, you virtually need all the clubs. So he was able to work some of the Queensland clubs back in his favour.
The clubs that the NRL
and
own.
That's how he survived. Yeah, some of those. And also the Queensland clubs as well. Okay. He's very popular up there.
All right, Jimmy Fox, anything else?
Can't wait for the Origin teams, Tone, to be announced on Monday.
Any surprises, Hoops? What about for Queensland? Are you hearing anything?
For Queensland, I've heard, I'll be interested to see which way they go in terms of their wingers. So they'll pick Billy Slater at fullback, which means Darius Boyd will be on the left wing. But the right wing spot, whether they're going to go with Corey Oates, I've heard that they might go with Corey Oates, which means that Val Holmes misses out. He's played Test football. He hasn't played Origin yet.
But he's a left winger, Oates.
Yeah, well, they're going to play him on the other side.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. So that's going to be interesting. And then for the Blues, I reckon Brett Morris might get a spot on the left wing.
He's in my team.
Yeah, more so. In fact, we're going to have Gerds' team that he picked last week. There's already been some changes. We're going to get there. Next, though, is the NRL stock market. There are games this evening we'll get to talk about and preview for you. Titans taking on Manly and the Eels and the Raiders. But right now, it is time for this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
really enjoying the whole stock market thing we've been doing each and every week. Just working out whether these gentlemen are holding, buying or selling the stock that they've invested in rugby league. And I think there's been some great buying going on.
Hasn't there?
Some really, Ryan, I think you're ahead of the game and I'll get to that specifically in a moment. Now, Wade Graham, as you're our guest, if you don't know what happens here, that's all you're required to do. I'm going to throw the name at you of the stock. Some of it's blue collar, some of it's struggling. And you get to decide whether you're buying, selling or sitting. And given that your current play, you may be doing a lot of sitting, I guess, rather than putting it out there. But I'm going to start. And we saw how well the Dragons play. But as you mentioned, Ryan Girdler, the Warriors were pretty awful last night.
Yep.
They were there in Waikato, and the Dragons absolutely pummeled them. There's been a lot of talk, and we talk about it every year, about the great list that the Warriors have, and they certainly did this year. The specific part of the team that many people have been chatting about it is the New Zealand national side spine.
Yep.
That is what I want to go. That spine of Isaac Luke, have Sean Johnson, of course. Now, they do have Roger Tuivasa-Sheck at fullback.
And Kieran Foran.
And Kieran Foran, who's come in this season. That is just an absolute bell-ringing great spine.
Mm.
But where are we with it? Are you buying, you selling, you holding?
Well, look, they're pretty cheap stock at the moment, aren't they? I would buy big.
Really?
Well, they're coming in at origin period. I mean, look at their run the next couple of weeks. They're playing Brisbane next week.
Uh-huh.
And Brisbane are probably going to have six or seven guys out. And then the Warriors, well, they should be able to beat them.
Yep.
That's at home. And then, obviously, you know, they come up against some other sides over the next 6 weeks period. This is traditionally when they make a run.
Yep.
So if you're ever going to buy the Warriors stocks, but it's a short-term purchase for me, Tone, I would buy the Warriors for the next 6 weeks, sit on them, and then I would just offload when everyone gets their plays back.
You play this game so well, Hoops. What do you think?
I'll tell you what, Tone, I was going to sell, but Gordon Gekko Girdler has just convinced me that I should buy. So I'm with him. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to have a little nibble at the
You've got a little
spine.
Short-term investment going here.
Yeah, just a short and sharp.
Do like
in
it.
And out.
Okay. It's not like a long, you know, like BHP where you just hang around there forever.
No, they're not blue chip.
Wait, don't. What do you reckon?
I'm going to buy as well, actually. You know, just for many of the reasons the boys have just said, but I'm probably going to sit and not sell. I'm probably going to buy and buy again towards the back end of the year. I know there's a World Cup coming up. You know, you look at Sean Johnson, Kieran Foran, Isaac Luke and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. I think, you know, at the back end of the year, that you know, playing together for a whole season, going back into the World Cup together, I think they can, you know, in that tournament, be a real force.
You mentioned Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Gerds, was it last year that you said if you could be any player in the world?
No, it wasn't last year. It was the year that it was 2014 or 2015 when he played for the Roosters.
Yeah.
And look, time will tell, but that mightn't have been the best move in Roger's career. At the moment, look, he's still, you know, getting good yards. He's running for 180 metres a week, and he's still a brilliant footy player, but I just don't think he's got the structure and maybe not the players around him to get the best out of him on a weekly basis. And look, he certainly hasn't reached those heights again. And I'm hoping that he can get back there. But at this point, I'm not Roger anymore.
Right,
we've broken up and have to think about who else I can be for a little while.
What you did do the past few weeks, so smart again. I'm in awe of you at the moment. You bought and bought and bought again during the three losses of the Dragons. Each week you bought. Now you're sitting pretty, aren't you?
I'm loving the Dragons, Tony. I told you that. Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, they've got a different mentality where they're just not, you know, relying on any individuals in their team. They're playing as a team and as a group, and the people that are coming in are getting the job done. And you just see that with their performances and just the language in which they talk when they're interviewed, the guys. If you read between the lines a little bit, you can see that, you know, if you question any of those players about any of the guys coming in and talk about Widdop and Dugan being out, they shut it straight down. And so Paul McGregor is certainly getting his message across, and that showed in their performance last night. And they will continue, no matter who's out, I believe, for the season, to surge and be a very, very competitive team.
Hoops,
I'll buy again.
Yeah, I think I've been buying the Dragons as well, I think, for the last few weeks, so I'm going to stick with them. Yeah, they're flying, Tone. You're playing great footy, and Mary's doing a great job. He should get a new deal very soon.
What do you think, Wade?
Yeah, I'm with the boys again. You know, obviously, we're probably a bit lucky to get out of jail against them last week. They played well again this week, and, you know, they're going to continue with that forward pack and, you know, get Widdop back eventually, get Dugan back eventually, just add that, you know, bit more threat on the end of things, and, yeah, I think they're a real good shot.
All right. Ivan Cleary, Hoops, are you buying or are you selling? It's a tough time for him again, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll buy. I'll stay on the bus. He's the stocks are pretty low at the moment, so the only way is up. So get in now while the prices are.
Is that a blue chip? A short term? What is that? What sort of investment are you making?
I think with the Tigers, you've got to go long term. You've got to hang on to it because obviously they're restructuring the roster at the moment, and they're going to have players leaving at the end of the season and new players coming in. And Ivan's going to need a little while just to really put his stamp on things, but. I'm buying long term.
All right. I'm going to jump all over the shop here because this is a team we haven't spoken of for the past couple of weeks. The Raiders. Now, they're not travelling anywhere near. And I know Ricky has said, oh, yeah, we're in that year. We snuck up on teams last year. Now everybody's, looking forward to playing us. They're really, doing whatever. But they're in a position where they need to start winning and quickly.
Big time.
Yeah. What do you think, Wade? You're buying, selling, or holding?
I'll probably buy as well. Obviously, I'm not sure how many they're going to be missing over the Origin period. So if there's a time from the go, they need to start going now. The season, the competition's so hard and every team's so good that you just can't afford to let too many teams jump ahead in front of you. So no doubt them boys would have addressed that in the last few weeks. They'd be disappointed with their performances and they'd be looking to, get back into the winner's circle and start getting up that ladder. So I'm going to buy over this Origin period. I think a real couple of big games at home for them, a couple of wins, and they'll be back on track.
All right, what are you doing, Kurtz, with the Raids?
No, I'm just going to stay off. I'm not going to. I'm just going to hold. I think they'll probably surge through the Origin period, Tone, because they're probably only going to have Papali, to be honest, involved in the campaign and with the talented roster that they have. You would think that during this period it's going to be beneficial and they're going to win some footy games. But I'm just I look at them as a blue chip investment. The Raiders, if you're going to get on, you need to get on for the season. And I just don't know if they're going to challenge at the end of the season.
All right.
At this point,
the final one for you. It's a double barrel. It's ahead of Origin. The two coaches, Kevvy Walters and Laurie Daly. Where are you going with respect to that? Are you buying, selling, or holding on those men? This is before their teams are even officially announced. James Hooper.
Yeah, I'm going to buy Loz. It's a big year for Loz. He's done a great job while he's been the head coach of the Blues so far. It's important to be positive and believe. And I think this team that he and Peter Sterling are going to select is going to be a really good chance of giving it a good shake in Origin this season.
All right, Wade, I guess your hands are slightly tight.
I'm going to leave that one outside.
I'll be staying out of this one, mate. Straight to you, Gerd.
I'm going to buy Loz as well. This is a big opportunity for us this year, given that some of the players that they have out and some of the players will take injuries in. And just thinking about, especially the forward pack from Queensland, I know that they've got some tried and true guys there, but just their starting side's going to be crucial, isn't it? And what they do in relation to front rowers. Matt Scott's been the cornerstone of that side for the last, 8 to 10 years. He's not there. Do they go with guys like Dylan Napa, who, playing okay, not in great, not knocking the door down, is he? Or do they go with Lilliman and Miles and guys that have been there before, but do they have the energy and the physicality to start that opening 20 minutes and have an impact on the outcome during those, early exchanges? It's going to be a big call. So, look, I'm going to invest in Laurie. I think we can pick the side to get the job done, and I'm going to sell Kevvy.
You're selling Kevvy.
You can't sell Kevvy.
I'm just selling Kevvy.
You're putting a puppy down. You can't sell Kevvy.
It's 2 weeks to Origin. I'm selling Kevvy. Everything that I got, I'm off him. I love you, Kevvy, but I'm selling you.
It could come back to bite. We'll find out next.
Always does.
Mark Hughes joins us on Saturday Triple M NRL. Wade Graham, of course, sits in for him on this Saturday afternoon. Lovely to have your company wherever you are listening to us. And it's been terrific to watch in the first few games of this round. Beanie for brain cancer. I know, Wade, you guys ran out onto the footy field wearing the beanies.
Yeah, it's a great cause. We spoke about it a bit during the week. Obviously, down there in Cronulla, we've had Noddy over the last month doing it a bit tough. So, great cause and happy to get behind it.
Mark Hughes, of course, is the man. The Mark Hughes Foundation has been so crucial in this happening, and it's just terrific to have him with us right here, right now. Boozy, g'day.
G'day, Tony. How are you, mate?
Very, very well, thanks, mate. Chuffed have you been to see how well this has been going?
Oh, it's been absolutely overwhelming. It started with Matt Callender and Glenn Pallister, and then the NRL got behind it, the clubs got behind it. coaches, former players, the players. It's just been an enormous, enormous week. And I know Wade's there, and started the game at the Sharks was just awesome. The Cronulla Club welcomed us in, and Coach Flanagan even was there before the game buying 5 beanies to wear in the box. And it's just been so heartening to see all the support. It's just been wonderful. And, of course, we've got the Kamali family, in our minds, and just the terror that it's ripped through their family. It's wonderful to see the rugby league community out there helping.
Hey, Booze Girds, I guess you're not a guy that ever really attracted attention or wanted attention as a player. How are you handling all the attention? How are you handling doing, all the publicity and going around and really being the face of what's turned out to be a huge weekend in the NRL?
Yeah, good. Chief and I came down in Sydney last Wednesday, and it started from there. And it was awesome to have Chief alongside me. He's an ambassador and just a real awesome bloke to be around, as you know, and very lucky to have him close by all the time. But I chose to do this. I put my hand up and said I wanted to, get off the couch and try and make a difference. And so I have to talk about my health all the time. I have to talk about brain cancer. But we probably feel like we've spoke to just about every radio station, across New South Wales and Queensland. And it's just been wonderful. And all the networks are getting behind it. So, good. It's a bit tiring, but it's all worth it.
How is your condition?
Yeah, I'm great. I get scans every 4 months, and everything's going excellent. And it looks great, but it's brain cancer. It's a dreadful disease, and things can change really, really quickly. So I'm just grateful where I am now, and I don't look too far into the future. And I just try and live as healthy and happy life as I can.
Hey, Boozy, it's Jimmy Hooper. Mate, do you draw a lot of strength from you Newcastle blokes? You can really see the tight-knit bond that you guys that won those premierships in 97 and 2001 have got. Do you draw a lot of strength from the support that you get from the Chief and Matty Johns and Joey and Mad Dog and all of those blokes?
Yeah, for sure, Hoops. Like all teams, you become close with your teammates, and we certainly did that, and especially when you have success. And we were lucky to win a couple of premierships, and we were a very close group. And when I struck trouble 3 or 4 years ago, they were the first to put their hand up and help me. And later in the year, we're going to base camp Mount Everest on a trek, and about 8 or 9 of those blokes are coming along with us. So I can't wait to do that one.
Yes. $1 million question: have you got Joey over the line yet?
Yeah, he's under a fitness cloud. We got him on a 24-hour sort of medical watch, but at this stage he's in. But as I said to him, he always played his best footy going into a game injured. So I think he'll be fine. Yeah.
Hey, Marcus, Wade Graham here, mate. I didn't get to see you the other night at the game, but I just wanted to congratulate you, mate, on what you've started and all the awareness that you have raised. And we're very proud as a team to wear the beanies out and then get them out into the crowd for you, brother. So I hope you're going well, mate, and all the best.
Yeah, appreciate it, Wade. And it was a real proud moment seeing, you boys, the premiers from last year, running out in the beanies. It was a surreal moment, it is, really, for us. And just that Cronulla community, with the Kamalis and that, they were so enthusiastic to get our beanies and wish us all the best. It was a really great night.
Boozy, just quickly, in terms of what it's all about, raising money, where's it going?
Yeah, so, Tony, the Marquis Foundation, we're looking at our original plan was $500,000 raised out of this week, and we're going to put on a fellowship which puts an experienced researcher off seeing patients and into full time research, so they can control and conduct more trials. So that was our original goal, mate. But we've got to really assess that now, because I'm proud to say that we've just reached $1 million raised this week.
Wow. That's huge, mate. Well done.
So it's overwhelming, just even saying that. And so we've got to reassess things, and we'll make some announcements about that, because as soon as we get this money, I've got to get it in and get it going, because myself and so many people are relying on things improving, and the only way to do it is to do the research. And just on that, guys, the beanies are going bananas. We can't keep up. We've sold out. We're waiting for another delivery to come this week, and then we've got another 30,000 coming in about 4 to 6 weeks. So, anyone that orders now will be pre-ordering, and they'll get their beanie in 6 to 8 weeks. But
And also to other people that have ordered, please just be patient. We're just waiting for these deliveries to come in so we can keep up with the orders. But it'll be 100,000 beanies sold.
What about some new treatments and some development? Is there some exciting things on the way? Is there some positive things happening?
Yeah, Gerds, I've got a scientific committee who work really hard on making sure wherever we spend every dollar is going to go to the right areas and do the right type of research. And the word is that there is some stuff bubbling to the surface with brain cancer, but there's not much coming out the other side. So we're going to try and tip that in our favour and start getting it to bubble out. And another way of doing that will be government funding. So we get less than 5% of government funding for research. So we want to try and change that. So if the government can really help us out as well, we can, you know, get a big war chest of money and really start, you know, improving outcomes because they haven't changed for 20 years.
Yeah.
All right, I see that Channel 9, what sports bet are donating $1,000 for every try that scored over the weekend? I think the Dragons got 6, the Broncos got 6, there was another 3 scored by the Warriors, so that is also good. Mate,
yeah, it's awesome.
It is just so good to talk to you, and what you have done and will continue to do is amazing. You should be immensely proud of yourself.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and thanks for Triple M support. You're always great. And I think any coach that instructs their team to tackle this weekend's a bum.
You'd be happy with Stephen Kearney there.
Yeah, and Ivan Cleary's on fire.
They're awesome. So I see plenty of tries.
Well done, Boozy.
Thank you. Mark Hughes, there he goes. That is brilliant. We have these weeks and weeks where we talk about negative stories. It's just so nice to have one of those kinds of stories that is ongoing. Beanie for brain cancer. Get amongst it. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. The State of Origin side, I know it hasn't been picked yet, but Gerd's picked it last week and he's already got some changes. I just love the way.
Yeah, we lost through the week. So.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know what really made you change your mind between then and now. But
yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
You have. We're going to get
just time, Tony.
Yeah, I know. We're going to get there very soon. Wade Graham is sitting in for Wendell Saylor. The interesting thing is that we've got a segment for Wade right here, right now. Wendell has been here for how many years?
Well, we try to give Wendell a segment every year.
Yeah, that's true.
What has he got? He comes into Jimmy Fox and sings.
Well, he sings.
Yeah.
That's his
intro. He owns that, though.
It's not his own intro, though. Mm. Yeah, he does. Okay. Whereas now this man has been in the chair for, 3.5 minutes?
Yep.
And he's got this.
Wade's World!
Wade's World!
Wade's World!
Wade's World!
We're going to have to have him every week now, at least on the phone for Wade's World, because that's the best opener. But what we're basically going to do is have a chat. Always great to have current players in the studio, and especially ones that communicate the way that Wade does and has such strong opinions on the game. So we thought we'd just walk him through a few of those issues and get his opinion. The first one, I guess, the biggest debate, or one of the biggest debates in the selection of the New South Wales side, is obviously the Wade Graham versus Boyd Cordner, both left-edge players. Wade, is it a little bit unfortunate of the fact that you're pigeonholed as a left-side player, and do you think there's other ways you could contribute to the New South Wales side, possibly playing somewhere else?
Yeah, I think probably that's just been maybe a product of how the game was maybe the last five to ten years when it became that from the free-flowing sort of footy to the real structured set plays, you know, three to the post for this back. Players got sort of given an individual role and, you know, that's what they were expected to do every time. But I think, the way the game's going, how it's, starting to open back up with the interchanges coming down, it's allowed probably, you know, the footy players to get back into the game, the guys who play a lot more what's in front of them, aren't so structured in their play and they just get out there and play footy. I think, you know, what you were talking about before with Dugs and, the Cronulla pitch at him was just, I know with Flano, he's never... restricted me in the way I play. He's always said, just go out there and play some footy, mate. Play what you see in front of you. And his philosophy is, you know, about just getting good players in the 17 and just finding a spot for them, because good players will always, you know, find a way to have influence on the game.
Or,
you see that with Jack Bird in our team. He's played 5-8, he's played fullback, he's played in the centres. But, you know, that's Flano's philosophy, and I'm a big believer in it. And I think the way the game's headed over the last 3 years with the reduced interchange and, it's becoming more free-flowing again, I think the way positions are locked in are going to decrease, and you're going to see a lot more players be able to show their versatility and be able to show how they can play in a couple of positions.
So if you were basically, if you do get selected on the bench, I mean, you could possibly come in. We do have back rowers now playing, obviously, on edges and also through the middle. Would you see yourself, you know, as a possible replacement for a Tyson Frizzell coming on in the middle and playing a little bit of football through the centre of the ruck and not being locked down on an edge?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing anything, mate, to be honest. You know, I just love playing the game. I always have. You know, ever since I was young, coming through at Penrith, it was just to get out there and play. And I think, you know, as I said before, that's starting to come more and more and more back into the game within individual players and, you know, coaches and teams are starting to catch on to it. And, you know, if we're sitting there before the game, and it obviously depends on what the coach wants from you and his expectations, but, you know, within them parameters, you go out there and try and do your best in whatever role it is. And, you know, we're probably lucky that in the back row in New South Wales, there are a lot of guys there who are good players and are versatile, who can play in a lot of positions. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to what, you know, the guys come up with and the direction they head and, you know, what their plans are.
You've got an amazing record against the Melbourne Storm, the Sharkies, and especially, and it, you showed it again this year. You went down to Melbourne, you weren't in great form, you got the job done, and your ability to shut down Cooper Cronk on that edge certainly has to be something that Laurie would look at. Is that something specifically that going in up against a Storm that you really concentrate on and go out with a role, or is that something you do every week, is trying just to shut down the ball players on the opposition side?
Yeah, well, obviously you have different plans when you come up against different teams depending on their personnel, but it's no secret down at the Storm that Cronk calls, you know, is the main director there, him and Cameron Smith and the other boys play, you know, off them. So I know for the Sharkies, when we're preparing to play the Storm, you know, our conversations on the left are we just got to do a really good job, you know, on Cronk, Slater, you know, and their right edge, because that's, you know, probably their strongest edge. So it's probably just a defensive mindset for us that week. Our biggest job that week is to stop them, and, you know, that's our focus going in. And it's a tough job to do because they have so many options and they're great players. But I think when you know you're coming up against such quality opposition, you know, you prepare really well and you're ready to go into the 80 minutes for it.
No. Can I just go back to what you were talking about? You know, you're an 80-minute player. That's what you like to do. You're talking about over the recent times now, there's more just footy players, and it's attractive to watch footy players playing footy. Do you think that interchange, it's now at 8? Is that where you'd like it to stay?
I'd love to see it come down even further, maybe to 6 or even the 4, and probably just allow a few more things in there, say, you know, a free interchange for a fair play, probably an extra guy there for concussion if it's off fair play, and then maybe the, you know, extend the bench a bit more, have probably 6 guys on there, but you can only use 4 of them, a bit more like the old days, and, you know, you get your front rowers to rotate once if you want, and then you have to save 2 in case anything happens in the game, but then pretty much if you come off, you're done for the day. So I think, yeah, the more we can get back to that style, it's going to be just a better product to watch, because when you're out there, it is hell for leather and you do get tired. And now that you can't go off and go for a rest, you know, that's when the holes open and that's when the good players exploit you if you're not in your game.
Absolutely. What about sport? Like, you talk a lot about, you know, the players and the amount of time they spend on the field these days. What about the age of some of the guys? And you've got 3 guys in your forward pack at the moment that are currently either thinking about playing on next year or moving on and possibly retiring. Paul Gallen, Luke Lewis, Chris Hyington, what are your thoughts on those 3 guys? And what is it about the sports science, and especially at the Sharkies, that's allowed those guys at the ripe age of which they are to still maintain the sort of standards that they do?
Yeah, there's no question. Obviously, Flano has been the driving factor for the success at the club that we've had. He's, you know, the way he cares about the club and, you know, how much effort he puts in to get us going in the right direction is, you know, has been the cornerstone for it. But we have a guy down there named Andrew Gray. He's our high performance manager. He oversees everything from, you know, your conditioning to your weight to your physio to your doctor's appointments to everything. And he's got his finger on the pulse of every player down there. He knows exactly where everyone is. And he's brilliant, mate. He's a genius. I think if you spoke to the guys like Gao, Hino, Louis, the influence he's had on their career, especially in the back end, of just getting enough work into them to make them, you know, able to play each weekend, but to feel fresh at the same time and to still be producing, you know, in their latter years, I think they'd all take their hats off to Andrew Gray, mate. He's a genius down there.
Did he come from the Dragons, Wade?
He did come from the Dragons. He had a lot of years there. I think
another one you've got.
Yeah, he started as a physiotherapist years back down at the Dragons and sort of just worked his way up. And then I think one year he shared the role with with someone as a conditioner, and then he just kept progressively getting better. And I suppose as the GPS system came in, he got a hold of that right at the start, and he worked his own formulas out and his things around training to do with the GPS. And mate, he's a genius. He's great for all our players, especially our young guys. We've got a group of young guys down in Cronulla. They're 20 years or younger. There's probably five or six of them that they're just all real little professionals. They all train hard. They look after themselves. And, you know, a big part of that is the influence Andrew Gray has.
Just on the Sharks and the way that you do train, Wade, is it right that during the season you train day on, day off where you can? That's the structure? Or?
Yeah, it just depends on, obviously, the turnarounds. Ideally, we do go day on, day off, and that's all about, you know, when you come to work, you put in, you know, as much as you can to, you know, get better, and then you can switch off the next day. And if I find when you just have that really one day to focus on to put all your work in, you get the most out of it. But it's very cordial, mate, depending on turnarounds and, okay, you know, travel and this and that. But they do their best to look after us.
Tell us a little bit about that run last year. Obviously, you know, with four or five games to go, the Sharkies, well, you're going in, you look like you're going to be sort of minor premiers. You fell away really poorly at the back end of the season. You talk about Andrew Gray and the way that he gets you guys prepared for each week. Was that a tactic? Was that a ploy from, you know, the Sharks trainers just to let you guys just have a real drop in intensity at the back end of the season so that then you regain momentum for the finals?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of things. Obviously, last year was a bit different. We were on that big run of winning games. I don't know. It was
15 or 16
in a row,
yeah.
And then a draw at that sort of snapped the streak. And when we got on that streak, it sort of, the focus wasn't on the footy, but it was just the next week. And we really sort of lost track of time. And, you know, fortunately, because of that streak, when we did lose, there was 4 weeks to go to the semis. We sort of always knew we were going to be in the top four. And that's the big cherry at the start of the year when you're lining up and you're setting your goals. You need to really be in that top four to give yourself the best chance of having success at the end of the year. And once we'd had that loss, we sort of always knew we were going to be in the top four. We just didn't know where. And because of probably the experience in our team across the board, it was sort of like we were all just treading water, just waiting for the finals to come around. So we're just getting through the games and just waiting for the finals. And, you know, luckily for us, when we hit the finals, it's like we got shot out of a slingshot.
Yeah.
when the whole distance.
How is Flannery? Obviously, you know, the form this year hasn't been brilliant, but you're still leading the premiership and you're not playing that well. That must be, you know, that must give you guys some confidence and knowing that if you guys start putting it together, the damage you can do. Can you guys go back to back?
Yeah, we're obviously happy with you know, where we're sitting at the moment on the table, but we're not really happy with the way that we're playing. I think we got the worst completion in the NRL, the most errors, the most penalties by a long way too, not just in the ballpark. I think by a long way. So, you know, the positive is that we are going well on the ladder, but we need to fix it. We've addressed it, and it's getting to the point now where we need to really, you know, draw a line in the sand and we need to fix it up, because you can do so much during the year, but if you don't start getting in the swing of things, the back end of the year comes up, it'll catch up with you. So the time's come for us as, you know, as individuals to really, you know, tighten that part up in the game for us so we give ourselves the best chance at the back end of the year.
All right. What a great privilege to jump into Wade's world. I love that. That is a brilliant insight. We still have an hour to share, though. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.